listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live from Las Vegas, live on a Tuesday. This is going to be a different show. We got Jonas Knox in LA. I want you to think about something. When there's a conversation on the radio, on TV, and it seems like that the guy asking the questions or the gal isn't really listening to the answers, you might think, hey, that seems weird. Why should we listen if they're not listening? And you're right. But you know why it happens? It's because if you have to prepare for the interview, like, you know, you should, you're going to have your next question. And if the answer is something that changes the premises, it's like, wait a minute, the assumption of all these other questions was he was going to say A, but he said B. Then it throws all the other questions out. So what happens is they're just like not even listening. So somehow if someone says something that changes the answer, changes the assumption, they just ignore it and keep moving. It literally happens. We're not going to do that. I think there's a lot of two major ones, baseball, NBA. This isn't fully an issue, not at all fully an issue of social justice. This is about sports, players, owners. We've got it in baseball. We've got it in basketball. We got it in football, too, when it comes to the kneeling and the acceptance of the protests. And to me, these are not obvious answers. I've always said, if something's obvious, if there's an obvious right or wrong, then only stupid people are going to disagree. And I think we can all agree politically, there's very intelligent people on both sides, no matter where you are. Because you've got your own experience. I've got my experience. Jonas has his. And that informs our worldview. And as we've often said, do you think the same thing today you did 10 years ago? No, hopefully not. If you do, that's bad. That means that nothing that's happened in 10 years has informed you to think, maybe, you know, people that went to, you know, WW2 and the Greatest Generation, they thought one thing before the Depression, one thing after, one thing before WW2, one thing after, et cetera. Now, those are major earth-changing type changes, but we're all going through our own experiences before, let's say you go to college, after, before you're married, after, perhaps, not Jonas and his fiance, but others, perhaps. And if we accept that both sides have a point, that means we got to understand from our perspective when we agree with one side, when we agree with the other, what we think the right answer is. And in a democracy, that's your role. Then you make your vote, everyone makes their vote, and then as a country, we move forward. That's the goal. I want to do that today with these issues because I think the press has them wrong. That will be my main point when we start, Jonas, I think, with the baseball, is I believe, as I watch the reporting on this, they're all missing the main story. So why don't we go over and set what the story is that they're reporting, and maybe we'll discuss, or we will discuss, what I think they got wrong.
Yeah, this is according to SNY's Andy Martino, that there are at least six owners who don't want a 2020 season at all. Of course, this coming after yesterday, Rob Manfred saying he's not 100% confident we will have a season, and many players sending out the sentiment on social media of tell us when and where we want to play games.
I don't think this is a big deal. I think this is what fits into what we talked about yesterday. And I got to tell you, if you listen closely, we are predicting the future and not just on games. So what we said yesterday was when Manfred came out and said, I'm not so sure as I used to be, that this was a cue This was a message to the players. You've reached the point of friction. You've reached the point where you're not going to win the next one. We've conceded, the owners have conceded a lot of points along the way. And we'll get into those. That doesn't change historically that the players have conceded more. But in this issue, the players rolled them in this negotiation. We said it yesterday. We'll tick through why that's the case. The owners had to let them, they felt like they had reached the point of we can't accept this next thing. What that next thing was, the players wanted to sign the agreement, accept the agreement, and then retain the right to file a legal grievance about the very thing they're agreeing to. It's not that, oh, in the future, if you do something wrong, owners, you know, we shouldn't, you know, we want to file a grievance. Yeah, that would always be maintained. You can't sign away future rights. And I guess you could, maybe, I don't even know. But it would never happen. Because then the owners could do anything and there'd be no recourse. But literally, and Jonas, let's start here. The reporting went that the real disgruntledness amongst the owners, the sense of, oh, we got to put a stop to this, was over the weekend. The players were talking to media member, or the player representatives were talking to media members and saying, yeah, we're going to agree to the number, they, you know, 48, whatever it is, and then we're going to file a $1 billion grievance about it right pretty much as it happens. Is that what you've read and understand?
Yeah, I saw that out there, and there's been so many reports, but that was one of the ones that was alluded to over the weekend, if I recall. Yeah.
And was there other reports that would contradict that one, or other reports about other things?
There's just other reports about other things, different details of the grievance or the disagreements and what really is a sticking point for certain owners and players.
Yeah, so what we're saying is, let's say you and I were having a dispute with Fox. We said, look, we are the fastest growing show on this network, buddy. And we're not the biggest show, but we're the fastest growing show. And I want to have lox for lunch. I want there to be fresh lox and capers every day. And they said, okay, you got it. And then we said, oh, by the way, we're probably going to sue you for something related to this agreement right after you give us the lox. Are they going to want to give us the lox? Or are they going to want to say, wait a minute, what are you going to sue us over? Well, the lox. Well, we're giving you what you're asking for. Yeah, but we think we should have $1 billion more. I mean, this sounds goofy. Think about what the players are doing. If the reporting's correct, we can always caveat it. They're saying, tell us where and when and where even. All right. But by the way, once you do, we're going to sue you for it. I mean, the owners, from their perspective, and we'll go over that perspective, are losing money in the regular season. Every game they play, they're losing $460,000. That's their number. We can say, well, maybe their number's lying. It probably is lying, but it's a negative number. You know how you know that? What is one of our basic straight out of Vegas premises? It's easy to talk. Look at the actions. The fact that the number, and it's $640,000, make sure we got that right, per game is their number. And they're saying, we want to play less regular season games. And Jonas, wouldn't you agree that's the actions the owners are taking? Meaning, the players are saying, we want more regular season games. The owners are saying, we want less because the money is in the playoffs. And even if they lose $640 per game or $460 per game, and they play, let's say, 48 games, they still will make money because in the playoffs, they make $800 million. So there's still some profit by playing 48 games. But every game additional, 49, 50, 51, they're losing more and more money, and they're not gaining anything in the playoff side. So this is about keeping your losses reasonable in the regular season versus making your money in the postseason. Their actions, the owners are saying they want less regular season games. I have no reason to doubt do you that they're losing money per regular season game, or why would they not want to play?
Yeah, the less games, I think the better it is for the owners. It's similar at certain restaurants who don't have the budget to stay open all day. What they'll do is they'll close after about 2:30 and open back up at 5. That extra 3 hours there and the cost of labor during that time, they'd rather just split the shifts and have less people on the clock so they can. It's better for their business. The owners would rather have less games because it's better for their business.
That's Jonas Knox. I'm RJ Bell. That's interesting. We're straight out of Vegas. Because what you're saying is it's profitable during lunch. It's profitable during dinner.
Yeah.
It's not profitable in between. But here's the question. If they started closing all the way to 5, now you might not be a viable restaurant anymore because some people want to eat, let's say, an early dinner. It's just like this. I think the owners would love to play 11 regular season games or something and get right to the postseason.
Yeah.
But there's an amount of games that's not viable. That if you don't have at least a certain number, and I don't know what that number is, but 48 feels viable to me, meaning I would feel like at the end of that, you'd have a pretty good idea who was good. Because if a 7-game playoff is supposed to be able to help you decide who's the better of two teams, 48 games seems like it could give you an idea who's the playoff teams and who's not. Now, 12 games? No. So I don't know what that number is, but the owners are figuring, we'll get that number high enough people think it's viable, but not so high that we keep losing on those additional games. What number works for you just in your gut that it's a reasonable regular season?
Half the season. I would need 81
games.
Well,
then we don't have a reasonable one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like that's because if you look at last year, I think the Washington Nationals were 19-31 through 50 games, and they won a World Series. So if you cut off the season at 50 games, your potential World Series champ wouldn't even make the postseason. I would need 81 games.
But that reinforces one of our other straight out of Vegas basic premises, which is there is no truth. You can have a Super Bowl champion, but if you somehow went back in time and replayed it, chances are they don't win, right? And you're right. In that scenario, Nationals wouldn't even made the playoffs. But you know what? If there was a 320-game regular season, you know, 324, it would have been a situation where sometimes a team that didn't even make the playoffs would win it, right? So to some degree, this is probability. This is the randomness of the world. We just try to minimize the randomness of the world.
Right.
Though I can't lie because I listened to your answer. You're the guy that says you want more randomness in things because you don't want it to be predetermined. That the idea of, oh, let's have a few one game and done things. It'll be exciting. And when I say, you know, that feels like there might be a winner that shouldn't be there. And you're like, I don't care. It's exciting.
Yeah. In the postseason. Yes. But I do want the regular season
played out. So you want there to be max randomness during the postseason?
Absolutely. This is for my entertainment purposes. I want more games and I want more teams involved for my entertainment purposes.
Now, for those who are aspiring to be a radio host, I'm going to show you a little trick. Since I just got Jonas, and he's tough to get, I'm going to take a break so you can ponder that. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation, and we'll just tease this. We'll give Jonas a chance to say I was right, and when he doesn't, we'll move on and continue laying out what the truth is here. We're getting to it, and it's important.
That's coming up next, but first, Straight Out of Vegas is brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations, in-store or curbside. Visit AutoZone.com today to start your job fast. Get in the zone, AutoZone. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will continue to take a look at the battle in Major League Baseball.
I tell you, the press has it wrong. If you listen here, smartest audience in sports radio, that's been proven. Well, to me. Great day to join us. We are the fastest growing show on FSR. Audiences doubled and more in the last year alone. Thank you so much. Right here in Las Vegas, 97 degrees. The neon is on. By the way, Jonas, we won't announce it yet because it's not in that state, but we got some exciting news coming up with our podcast and stuff. But that is a way to listen. Just search RJ Bell, search Straight Out of Vegas, whichever, on your player. And every day, the entire show, free.
So, RJ, we are now 1 day in or 2 days into another crucial week, quote unquote, in Major League Baseball for the negotiations of a 2020 season, and still nothing on board yet between the players and the owners.
It's our belief, and we talked about this in the first segment, that the owners have been rolled. They've been dominated in this negotiation, and that's fine. That means probably the players were in the right. That's the way it usually goes. Not always, but the way it usually goes. And finally, the idea that the owners said, no, we do not accept that we can make this agreement, and then you file a grievance pretty much right after for $1 billion. That is the heart of this. My understanding, it seems like shared assumptions are, if the players would say, based on these terms, there's no grievance worthy infraction, we'll move forward without grievances, which is really effectively a lawsuit, is what a grievance is. I think this is a done deal. Manfred would not have said what he said about his certainty on the season unless he felt confident that based upon the terms as they were being discussed, that they were going to agree. When he heard reporting, when baseball, the owners, heard of the players talking to reporters and saying, hey, we're going to file a $1 billion grievance as soon as we're done with signing the agreement, they said, oh, whoa, enough. We're not okay with that. The idea of now the players saying, Manfred's reneging, that's BS. It's not like what was going to happen. Manfred was somehow able to dictate what the players do. I usually don't agree with the owners. In fact, I hate owners to some degree because I think they give a bad name to capitalism. They do get to be above it all, and they don't really care what normal people care about. And maybe it's unavoidable, right? I'm not a billionaire. I don't know. But once you are different than me and you've got more power than me, I'm not going to like you too much unless you use that power very, very judiciously, very, very lovingly. And most billionaires don't. So I am not defending. To me, the worst cliche in sports today is billionaires, millionaires. I'll go with the millionaires. No, they're the multimillionaires and the billionaires are the same. We're on one side and they're on the other. Doesn't mean we can't work together. But I make really good money, 99.99% money. I'm not a multimillionaire in cash and I'm not a billionaire. And I promise you that me and pick a thing, the school teacher, the janitor, the whatever that is a working class person, me and that person has a lot more in common than either of us do to the guy who's making 10, 15 million a year, who's living a life on private jets. Doesn't mean he's a bad person. Doesn't mean we're good people. But this idea that the millionaires get, we're going to side with them because they're not the billionaires. No, they're together. It might not seem like it. Just like the Republicans and the Democrats are often together against us because they want theirs and then we'll get ours. Same thing here. And it's a very powerful concept. If you actually look at wrestling, and there's so many lessons in wrestling because it's like a movie. That's what it is. And what happened, you're a wrestling fan, right, Jonas?
Yeah.
So Vince McMahon bought... there was the wrestling, the Tuesday night, I think, wars there were, and TNT and TBS versus WWF and all that. What ended up happening was when Vince McMahon, WWE now, won, he said, oh, let's bring in, we'll have that on one day, I think it was Friday, and then we'll have our thing on Tuesday, and then they'll battle each other. Like, I'll own both companies, but we'll have them competing.
Yeah.
Right? You remember that?
Yeah, it was the Monday Night Wars, and after it was WCW that went under, he bought them and then brought in certain guys from that organization to be the quote-unquote intruders into WWE, sort of the outsiders coming in.
There was that, and then there was the whole UPN Friday night. So
yeah.
What they've done multiple times.
Competing shows.
Yeah, it's like saying, I own it all, but that isn't any fun. We want there to be competition, contentiousness. So we'll have them fighting each other, but we all make all the money. Well, wake up, Democrats, Republicans. Yeah, They each want to sit at the head of the table, whoever's president, whoever's head of the Senate. But, you know, Chuck Schumer has a lot more in common with the other senators than he does with you and me. And so does Mitch McConnell. I mean, this isn't Republican or Democrat. If you notice, whatever you want to say about Trump, when have you ever seen a party fight against their own like they did against Trump between the time he was going to be the nominee, it seemed, and the nomination itself? Those couple months when they thought they could still do something. I mean, if there is any indication of how much they're in it together, it's that, is they don't fight the other party as hard as they were fighting, the Republicans were fighting Trump. Now, when he won, they were like, huh, what can we do? Now we got to kiss his butt. They're always going to do what keeps them in the mansion. Rest assured that.
It's like a boxing promoter or a UFC promoter. He always wants his guys underneath his promotion to fight each other because he gets to see the fight and keep all the money.
And that, in that case, though, they actually have competition. But there is no competition for the Republicans and the Democrats that's legit, that can do anything.
Yeah.
And there's no competition in baseball except the major leagues is it. And they seem to be fighting each other. And they legitimately are. They do want to win, just like, you know, the Republican wants to beat the Democrat and vice versa in any contest. But that's secondary to not letting this all be disrupted. We've got an environment that there's only one baseball league that matters. There's only one two-party system that matters, right? The Democrats, Republicans, it's one thing. And anyone that thinks the players and us are on the same sides, why don't you say, hey, had a tough year. Can I hang out with you at Christmas? That's people on the same sides, right? But if a player needed to hang out with the owner, he could. It might be in the guest house, but he'd be there. Right or wrong, Jones?
Yeah, no, you're correct. Yeah,
Now, if you want to hang out with me, that's not going to happen either. So I'm not saying I'm your best buddy. I'm just saying that we can have lunch maybe. But to me, I always appreciate a guy that's going to tell me where the limits are, though. At least I know he's telling the truth. I always tell my wife, she's a good cook. And she'll cook something, and I'll say, I didn't like that. And she'll get mad. Then I say, but you know, the fact I just told you that means when I say I like it, it's true. If someone never tells you anything negative, how do you know what's true? When they tell you it's negative, then you think, wait, they're willing to tell me that they don't like it. That means they like it when they say they like it. A little tip for your future, Jonas, as you get married.
I've already been down that road, trust me.
Yeah, it's hard to convince them. I can't lie. RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. Okay. Here's the conflict as I see it. There's a reality that no one can avoid. COVID-19 happened. A normal regular season wasn't possible. Less games was going to be certain, unavoidable, that there's going to be less games. Now, why? The calendar, to some degree, is the key. Because you can't just play all year. I mean, look at the NBA. They're going to extend their season, hopefully, and then they won't start till next December. You know, so there's a limit to the calendar, and that's why the games need to be limited. So how have each of the parties dealt with concessions beyond reality? Meaning no one can make all the games happen. So the fact that players are accepting less games, they don't have a choice. The owners accepting less games, they don't have a choice. What has each party been willing to accept pain-wise by choice? And Jonas, I would make the following point. The owners have said, we will play regular season games under terms that lose us money. And as we discussed, I think it's undebatable. Maybe the amount is debatable that they would lose per game, the owners. But the fact that every action the owners have taken has communicated, we want to have less regular season games, but we want to have enough to make sure that it's a legit season, but otherwise we want less regular season games. That proves to me they're losing money on them, or why wouldn't they want more? The owners have been willing. First of all, does that make sense to you?
Yeah, 100%.
So now the owners are willing to say, we'll feel the pain of playing regular season games that are necessary for a legit season and losing on each game in order to get to the postseason, because we'll make enough there to at least break us even, if not more. That is pain. Accepting games that you lose money on is pain. My question is to you, Jonas, what have the players accepted, pain-wise, that they have a choice not to accept, meaning it can't be, well, there's less games. Yeah, there's less games. It's because of COVID-19. I would make the case demanding 100 cents on the dollar, demanding full pay per game, when unequivocally the revenue per game has been affected by COVID-19 because there's not going to be people in the stands. So I make the case that issue about how much is going to be generated per game, the owners looked at and said, huh, that stinks, less money per game. We'll accept it because we want to make sure there's a season. We want to play as few as we can, 48, but we'll accept the $640,000 loss per game is the estimate, I think. The players have said, nah, less than the fans, less fans, less of the crowd, no concessions. That's your problem. We want every penny. If that's true, then what have the players been willing to accept pain-wise? Jonas?
I think the risk, quote-unquote, of playing with the COVID and everything else to go along with it, and also their go-to is, we've agreed to take a pay cut this year to lose money, but we're not going to go back and then renegotiate on our original negotiation. That's the player standpoint, the way I see it.
Okay, so a couple things there. How to quantify the risk of playing? That's an interesting point. And I guess I would look at Adam Silver in the NBA and say, if I have not heard this said explicitly, and maybe that needs to be said, but if the owner said, listen, there will be no dire consequence if a certain player, any individual, wants to sit out a year, you know, we would, you know, they'd have to set up a way for that to be a viable option. I can't imagine the owners are saying, no, if anyone sits out, we're going to sue them. So let's accept that is an important factor. But would you agree if the situation were defined as you can play if you want, if you don't want to, you don't have to, that then it's really not a sacrifice, but rather it is a business decision. And part of the business of playing baseball in 2020 or playing any sport is going to be risk, just like leaving the house. I mean, so what you're effectively saying is the mailman, the UPS guy, any job you have that you have to leave your house, there's that risk, and the players are willing to take that risk.
Yeah, and whether we think, me personally, I would go play, but that's the one that players have gone to with, you know, we're the ones risking things here. We're the ones going out there putting our bodies.
But you're the one getting paid, though.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just, that's the thing is, no one's forcing you to, and as long as they're not being forced to do it, I think that is a good point, but not a point of really pain they're feeling, but rather they're making a decision because there's no alternative. I mean, maybe that's the key to this. If there was another way to play the owners are unwilling to do that would be safer, that'd be a good point. Wait, you're asking us to take extra risk. But if you leave the house, if you have a job, you got to take this risk. So the owners can't remove any more risk of COVID-19, right?
Yeah, and the other thing is, of all the sports that are contemplating coming back and playing, the one that,
outside, right?
Yeah, the one that it practices social distancing even without knowing it is baseball, because the only time players are even near each other is maybe when they're turning a double play or when the batter and the catcher are next to each other at home plate. Other than that, the outfielders are nowhere close to each other, and if they are, that's probably a problem because they could collide, but there are ways. It feels like baseball was built and the way that it's done seemingly would have been the easiest transition to deal with what's going on and the social distancing and being cautious about everything, and yet here we are still not having a season.
That's a great point. That's Jonas Knox. We're straight out of Vegas. The outside part makes a ton of sense, right? It's wind, the wind's blowing, but the lack of contact, I mean, I guess catcher to pitcher, they're sharing the same ball. Right. But let's just say this, less contact, exchanging of fluids in baseball than other sports.
Yeah.
And it's outside.
Yeah.
So if we agree that the owners are not asking for anything that causes there to be increased exposure to COVID-19, that exposure is part of the game of any game, leaving the house. Thus, it's hard to say they gave up that, you know, that the players are accepting that pain. It's just the reality of today's situation.
Yeah.
And thus, you use the phrase a pay cut. No. the March 26 agreement, which actually did detail, and the New York Post had it. So the New York Post had an email that said that in this email, and I'll paraphrase it, and anyone can look this up, but in the email it was saying that both the owners and the players understood that if revenue was going to be affected per game, there'd be a renegotiation about that revenue. Now, we can say the New York Post is wrong, but you know, I don't know which reporting is right and wrong, but in general, we tend to believe it. Had you seen that?
Yeah, the first time I saw it was over the last 24 hours. The first time I even heard that mentioned was over the last 24 hours. And that's
it was right here, baby.
Yeah, well, and that's a big deal. Like because all we've heard is there was an agreement in place and then the owners tried to renegotiate and the players said, no, we already negotiated with you once. If there was also an agreement that there would be a renegotiation if something else happened and the players aren't playing along with that, that's a bad look for the players.
If it gets out there, and in a weird way, this is the first time I've seen the players have better PR than the owners. Yeah. The owners usually have the more expensive PR groups or whatever, but I woke up today, watched the morning shows, sports-related stuff, and it's like, huh, they're not getting this story. And you're right, they're not talking about that New York Post Post report, but it's even more than that. The idea that they're saying Manfred's reneging, how can he be responsible for decisions the players are making? And again, it sounds like I'm an owner's guy. I'm not. It just feels to me, to wrap this up, that it's fair to say there's a lot of pain that neither side can do anything about, and we're all accepting it. Us too, owners, players. I mean, my favorite, I can't go to my favorite stir fry place. I don't know when it's going to be safe. I mean, that's pain. No, listen, obviously, anyone that has friends, family, everyone's felt it one way or the other. Job loss, business losses, health, you know, even death, horribly. All that is accepted. It's part of the game right now. I use the game as a way to say it's part of living life. The one thing that the owners have said we'll accept more pain than we need to is them saying we will lose money on each of these regular season games. You don't start a business to lose money. But we're willing to lose it. And we'll play enough games to make sure it's a legit season. The players have said we will accept no pain that we have a choice in. Because this is the unequivocal truth. There has been multiple offers that if the players had taken less per game, and the numbers I've heard that were the most convincing, as in this makes sense, was take a 17% cut, so 83 cents on the dollar, but they could have played, I think it was upwards of 72 games. One was 82, but let's say 72 games. So the difference between 48 games and 72 is what the players had a choice. And Jones, you can tell me if you agree with this. Had the choice to choose. And even at the 17 cents or so discount on every dollar, they would have made more money, the players. I think Fezzik's numbers were a $10 million player at the beginning of the year, playing 48 games, making exactly the right, the normal amount per game, so 100%, would have made $3 million. And they would have made $3.6 million or so if they would have played the 78 games. So 20% more money, the player said no, because we're not making the same per game. Is that sound like the truth, first of all? And number two, what do you think? Who's to blame in that scenario?
Yeah, I would put more of the blame on the players. And I think the way Fezzik described it yesterday was that it was about $3.7 million, but it definitely was more had they decided to play more.
20% is the estimate. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the players are saying we'd rather have vacation days than play and make money. But somehow the owners are bad? They usually are. This, to me, is the players finally graduating to being tone deaf and distant from us as much as the owner. This is like a graduation day. You're finally an owner. Congratulations, a-hole. All right. Hey, George Costanza said, leave him laughing.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He is the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
We got our last break coming up. Jonas, a friend of mine has their kid here. They want the mic for a second. You think I should give it to him? I'm going to take a shot.
Give me an R. Give me a J. What does it spell?
Oh, my God. Wasn't that sweet? Huh. I didn't know he was going to. When we come back, we've dealt with baseball. We deal with the NBA next.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you've always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of You, the Fan. So, RJ.
Hey Jonas, we're talking NBA. Did you hear about this weed testing, the drug testing stuff?
No, I did not.
Okay. Oh, apparently, part of the negotiation, and Brian Windhorst was talking about this on ESPN, is the league is saying we won't test. I think it's just for marijuana. Mackenzie, check on that. So heroin, yeah, we'll test probably. But we are not testing for weed when you show up at the bubble. I mean, it sounds like a party that no one wants to go to.
Right.
And they're saying, I mean, how does that, like, what's your first thought on hearing that?
I think that's them understanding that if we're going to keep these guys quarantined, at least try and keep them entertained while they're quarantined.
See, okay, so here's the terminology. They will not test for recreational drug use, but they will test for drugs of abuse. Now, anyone that knows a true wake and bake pothead that doesn't think that's a drug of abuse, when used like that, I mean, Jonas, you're in LA. I've never noticed this. You know, you're still at home. You've got like a T-shirt on. How many? What do you got? Like 14 tattoos on your arm? How many tattoos?
I only got two. I got two.
But it's
terrible.
Like a foot long.
Yeah, one of them's bigger than the other, for sure.
So I'm guessing you've been around some potheads in your life, correct?
Yeah, but ironically, I've actually never even smoked a cigarette.
You're a house nut. I mean, you might be thinking he's lying, but he gets upset if there's not enough hand wipes that have the right kind of germ killer. So, but the wake and bakers, it's a different thing.
A whole different lifestyle. Yeah.
But I get it. Weed has been demonized and historically, and that's certainly changed. So, what you said is what Windhorst said, but I think it misses the point. If the league said, we're not going to test you when you leave the bubble or when you're in the bubble, but by saying we're not going to test you when you enter the bubble, what does that have to do with dealing with the bubble? It's about the drug use before you get there, right?
Well, I mean, everybody needs a beer at the airport bar before they get on the plane, right? You know, it's like
this is saying, wink, wink, we know for sure that they're smoking themselves silly right now, and we don't want anyone not to come because they think they're going to get tested when they show up, right?
Yeah, that's
every young man feels a need to let the badger loose now and again.
I mean, so otherwise, what do you think? We're straight out of Vegas breaking down drug usage, owners and players being just as different than us or equally different from us. What do you think the main story of from Friday to now about the NBA and how it looks less likely, but still, what do you think your main takeaway is of all that?
Well, I think that players want answers. They want to know what, you know, like Avery Bradley, this came out a short time ago, according to Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, that Avery Bradley is leading a players' coalition, and they just want to know from sponsors and from the league what they're going to do to improve some of the hiring practices of African-Americans in the NBA when it comes to front office jobs, things like that. So they're looking for answers as to what the NBA is willing to do before I think everybody agrees that they're going to go ahead and move forward with this bubble plan.
Here's the question, and I won't even say it like I know the answer, because I do think there's certain things you have to have experience with, and I will never have experience as a black man. And we got to accept that, each of us, right? And meaning that we only have our own experiences, whatever they are. It strikes me that the pandemic itself makes this an especially important season for the country as a whole, as in a distraction, some entertainment, but also for the league, because if they feel like you've been left, the fans feel like you left them at the time of need. People don't forgive that, typically.
Right, right.
So it strikes me that the George Floyd stuff would certainly be like, yeah, there's people who didn't realize how bad it was, that that video shows how bad it is. And that, there's no doubt about that. But it feels like that if you were someone who social justice was your focus as a player or whatever, or a focus, that that's something that this is the year not to focus on it if there's other considerations. Whereas wouldn't last season have been a time to say, we're not going to play if this doesn't happen? I don't know. It just seems like there's a lot of things happening at once. We'll pick this up tomorrow, but I think there's a question there.
We are brought to you by AutoZone. AutoZone has more ways for you to get what you need when you need it with their free same-day pickup. You can place your order online and grab what you need today at more than 5,700 AutoZone locations. Get in the zone. AutoZone.